First and 20 now, but the down and distance not as important as getting the points. You got 46 yards to go. Need a touchdown and a two-point conversion. Goff has the snap. He flushed from the right. He's stripped. The ball's on the deck. It's Ndamukong Suh picking it up at the 35, running to the 20. The former Ram to finish it. A scoop and score for Ndamukong Suh in week four in L.A. Shaquille Barrett got to Goff and knocked it out with 106 to go. This one all but sealed.
Ndamukong Suh, Johnny on the spot there. Shaquille Barrett rushing over Havenstein, finds a way to get to Jared Goff and knocks the ball out of his hands. We've seen this before. And Ndamukong Suh picks it up and gets to running down the field.
David, football, football David.
The Dave Dameshek Football Program. Available on Apple Podcasts and at NFL.com/DDFP. Now here's your host, Dave Dameshek.
Super Bowl hangover or not, there you hear our pal J.B. Long, voice of the Rams, alongside our other pal Maurice Jones-Drew. A stunning result, I guess, in a vacuum, but it also leads me to where I started talking a month ago, 6 weeks ago. I think this Rams team might be in some trouble. They have not looked great despite the 3-1 record now. We'll see what awaits them as soon as Thursday night football coming at you. The Seahawks, the Rams, both right now looking up at the San Francisco 49ers. Who on earth could have seen the San Francisco 49ers coming up big in 2019? Dave Dameshek, that's who. He told you they were going to win the division. Hi and hello, and welcome to the Dave Dameshek Football Program, presented as always by our pals over at Zaxby's, home of the famous chicken fingers, wings, and salads. Go get you some. Put them in your belly. ASAMP behind the glass. Eddie Spaghetti, you're ready to roll, yes?
I'm very excited, yeah.
I imagine you are.
It was a very good Sunday for me. So
you're 2-2.
Yeah.
Your New York football Giants are suddenly 2-2.
I was very pleased with the Saints and with Teddy B pulling out the victory there. I wish the Packers held on versus the Eagles, because the Giants would have been...
That is the first thing I thought of. As soon as the Saints held on to win on Sunday night, I thought, you know, Giants fans are feeling good right now. Mm-hmm. They could be feeling even better. What if at the quarter poll you were in second place and the Eagles were the ones looking up at you?
Yeah, it would have been a 3-1 and a 2-2 Giants team, 3-1 Dallas team, Giants 2-2. Eagles would have had one victory. But you know what? Next week, the Giants have the Vikings. The Vikings are in all kinds of disarray, so I'm feeling pretty good next week. Saquon's already out of his walking boot. We get Golden Tate back, so, you know, yeah, it stinks the Eagles won, but I'm feeling pretty good about next week, though.
I knew I was in trouble going into the weekend because I didn't have Saquon. He was in my big fantasy league. It's an auction league. I broke the bank to get Saquon.
Yeah.
And, of course, he was down. And I picked up Jordan Howard, and he scored 3 touchdowns last Thursday night, but I left him on the bench.
Ugh.
And then I was realizing this, oh, now I have to go with Adrian Peterson and Carlos Hyde. Neither one of those guys is going to come close to 3 touchdowns. I was sitting at the car wash, and as I was sitting at the car wash, it started to rain in Los Angeles, and I knew a pox had been laid on the weekend before it had even officially arrived.
But you had rain on Sunday?
No, on Friday.
Oh, Friday after
on the Friday,
after
I was at the car wash.
Yeah, we had weird weather Friday, Saturday.
I know. It rained on my car. I knew I was doomed with the weekend, and that's basically how we're... In fact, no one cares about anybody else's fantasy team. You don't need to kibitz about it. And I'm going to tell you anyway, I put up a woeful 53 points in fantasy this week. So I'm in a lot of trouble. Thanks to Deshaun Watson and Nuke Hopkins there. But my worries that, you know, misery loves company, and there's plenty of misery to go around. Spaghetti... It brings me to this while we're talking NFC East.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think it's possible that the Skins are as bad as the Dolphins? Keeping in mind that the Dolphins are trying to lose.
The Dolphins are trying to lose, and I think the Skins are worse, and I put this down in our rundown, because Josh Rosen. I think Josh Rosen literally is just the better quarterback of either team, and I think he could do more. He had an okay game yesterday with absolutely zero talent. I mean, the Skins replaced, that you kind of call that one, put Haskins in versus the Giants' bad defense. They put Haskins in. He's actually worse than Case Keenum. Now, apparently, Colt McCoy may start next week. We don't know yet.
How great is that?
It's just wild. I mean, and now all the Giants fans, you know, there were a group of Giants fans who were like, we should probably target Dwayne Haskins in this draft. He had a really good stretch for Ohio State, and no one really knew about Daniel Jones at all. You just see Daniel Jones losing to Clemson, you know, other ACC schools at Duke, and now Daniel Jones comes in and is awesome, and Dwayne Haskins looks like he's just lost out there.
Well, let's not make any hard fast decisions about that. But yes, you're right that that is one emerging narrative, at least for Giants fans, especially is look at it is crazy to think that in 6 months, what the journey that Danny Dimes has gone on. We'll see what the long term holds for him. I also am thinking about for you, the listener, I know jive policy is always in effect. We're just going to run the gamut here. Let's see how far Eddie Spaghetti and I can go in reviewing week four for you and looking ahead to week five. We are, after all, at the quarter pole here. Most teams are, aside from the couple that were on their bye this past weekend. What do you think the narrative, Spaghetti, at the quarter pole is? Let's go through some of these things. These are the overarching thoughts that I have at the quarter poll. One, there are, per usual, in our league of parity, there are a lot of teams that are in pretty close proximity. I think you saw that on Sunday night. There were some overreacting, you could see, predictably, from Cowboys people and from some national voices too, saying, how can you call the Cowboys a Super Bowl contender when they can't even beat Teddy Bridgewater? Mm-hmm. My response is the same as our pal Greg Rosenthal's is, you can't judge anything that's going to happen in December and January based on what you saw in September.
Especially with no preseason, basically, for most of the players in the league.
That's right. And, you know, that's 100% accurate. And I always say, as you know, that August you must ignore. It's a lie for your eyes. You know, it's a Civil War reenactment. It only looks real. Mm-hmm. You know, I think we now have to push that into the month of September. I think you can't really judge much of anything. The only thing you can do, the one asterisk to that is, you can play yourself out of the playoffs. If you go 0 for the month, you're probably out of the playoff picture. But as long as you are treading water and in it, you're probably in fine shape. How many times have we seen the Chargers, as a great, for instance, work themselves into it and say, well, you know, I don't know, nobody's talking about the Chargers, but they've look at what the Ravens did a year ago. There are any number of examples of teams coming out, the Colts. They started 0 for last year, didn't they? Weren't they 0 and 4?
And they turned it around. I'm pretty sure you're right. Yeah.
They were 0-4. So there are recent examples, even of if you are really bad coming out of the gate, you don't necessarily have to close the book on your season. But in all likelihood, so there's some dreadful teams, some all-time bad teams. Is that the biggest story, that there's a team in the NFL that even before the first game declared, we're not going to try to win at all? And in the meantime, you could make a case that the Redskins are as bad. The Broncos are kind of star-crossed, but now they have no Bradley Chubb, and now there are rumors that maybe they'll try to move Von Miller, which wouldn't have been plausible a half decade or a decade ago. You would never trade your franchise's best player away for anything. Now, all of a sudden, with all these trades and everything, as we wait to hear if Jalen Ramsey's going to move, maybe we'll hear Von Miller moves too. Which do you think is more likely, or do you think both will happen?
I think Ramsey's definitely the one that's more likely to go, but I think it makes sense now, the Broncos, just because you see the Dolphins, like, well, they're selling out, so I guess we should do the same and try to be in the conversation for a number one, number two pick. And if you could move Von Miller for, I mean, whatever Khalil Mack was worth, he's probably worth around the same, if not more. So I think that the Broncos definitely could do that. But I think that Jalen Ramsey is going to get traded, because I think he's just over with his time in Jacksonville, I think, unfortunately, because of Tom Coughlin, which is silly, in my opinion, because the Gardner Minshew he has to be your quarterback in the future now. And the team has some juice to them, and he's performed, like, thing they quarterback rating wise, he's the best rookie of his first four starts. And he's Leonard Fournette had a great game. So I don't know why he'd want to leave Jacksonville, the AFC South. Right now, I mean, with Houston struggling and the Colts just lost to the Raiders, I mean, like, it's easily, they could win that division, no problem. And I don't get why he wants to leave there, because he is the best corner in the league. He showed what he could do against Nuke Hopkins. And now if he goes to the Eagles, as a team that's rumored, like, do you want to challenge? Now you have to worry about the Cowboys. You have to worry about, I guess, the Giants now at this point. Like, I don't know. To me, the AFC South is the place.
Well, the thing to me is that, you know, right now, it feels like, all right, the Giants, really, for the excitement 2 weeks ago, they should have lost to the Buccaneers. That game, they should have hit, were it not for some missed kicks, including the last one, they still would have lost. So you would have felt good, but they would have lost that game. But now, if Von Miller can be had, is it crazy that if the Giants went and got him, that they would be kind of a player in the NFC chase?
Either one, Ramsey or Von Miller. And it's weird because you have your quarterback of the future, and that's like the one thing everyone wants. The Dolphins want that. You want to tank to get to pick your quarterback of the future, but the Giants already have that. So it's like, why do you care about where you're picking in the first round? If Danny Dimes leads his team to be 500 or so, and you're picking around 13, 14 in the first round, it's like, well, if you give up your first round pick and you get a guy like Von Miller or you get a Jalen Ramsey, like I said, both could be used in the Giants defense, especially now with Giants have an injury.
Well, I'm just thinking about what destinations would make sense, and beyond that, what would be a realistic get.
Any team in the almost in the NFL would want to
would want them, but yeah. There's obviously salary cap concerns, sure. And otherwise
Giants would have need
would get
and
in the way
cap,
of that.
Yeah.
Yes, that would be the big question with that, but so that leads me to this question, because it does seem like Jalen Ramsey might also wind up in Kansas City if the price comes down a little bit on him. And by the way, with Kansas City still at 4-0, basically without Tyreek Hill, is that the natural swap, is to send Tyreek Hill to Jacksonville? Is that reasonable? Either way, here's the question, not that it ultimately makes a difference, but it does show sort of the have-nots of the NFL here in the age of parity. Are the bad teams worse than the good teams are good? And the good teams are exactly two, the Chiefs and the Patriots, and that's it. Yeah. I feel like what we can see is, I hate to say a hard and fast thing like that, but can you imagine, injuries notwithstanding as always, is there a team out there that can rival either one of those when it comes down to it? Whatever sound and fury we see between now and New Year's Eve, does any of it really get in the way of the Chiefs and Patriots being the clear-cut two best teams? As flawed as they are. And they both are flawed.
Yeah, in the AFC, I don't see a spot where either of those teams can go and lose a game. I think if they had to play some of these NFC teams, maybe a fully
Who's
healthy.
Who's as good? I mean, well, first of all, to me, the third best team, if healthy, which they are not, is the Chargers. The Chargers are treading water, like I said before. They're 2-2, but they're banged up, and they still don't have Melvin Gordon back, but they're about to. And if they can, I mean, Okung is probably not going to play this year.
It seems like.
But they might get Derwin James back in December. We'll see. But they still have other injuries all over the place. But like I say, 500 right now, maybe they could. Who else could play with them? Week to week, you can see. And I encourage you, Nate the man, don't overreact. Don't be a dope. I'm keeping track of all the overreactions by everybody. When people get 2 weeks in and decide this is going to be, the Browns are doomed. I think that division is emblematic of the NFL. I think the AFC South is representative of things too. Like you mentioned, at this point, as we said before the season started, now they're all mixed up at 2-2. So is the narrative that Patrick Mahomes is doing it again, and we're on a collision course for Mahomes v. Brady in a battle for the generations coming up again, literally two different generations, those two.
I think so. I mean, Mahomes didn't have a touchdown pass yesterday, and he still had a comeback in Detroit, who apparently may be a good team, which you were kind of on. You said Detroit, watch out for them. I mean, in their building, first time in a dome, and they come back and win 34-30. I mean, I don't see the Patriots. They'll slip up a couple times here and there. It was a tough game in Buffalo, but yeah, right now those two teams are in the top. And the AFC, who else could challenge them? I was a believer in Baltimore. I mean, they just got smoked at home. The Chargers, like you say, yeah, I guess. Like, if Melvin Gordon, they could find a way to put him back in. Eckler's still doing his thing. You can't lose Mike Williams for a long period of time. That's going to be a big thing. But besides that, I don't know. I mean, I don't think we trust Tennessee, but they look okay.
No, but I mean, that's the Texans, right? The Texans,
be the team.
That was a bad loss.
They should be the team that's on that level, and for some reason, they just can't do it.
Yeah, I guess that. But if you look at the Ravens are probably going to be, what you could have, and you've seen this in seasons past where a team wins a division at 8-8 or 9-7. I feel like that's one thing I say don't overreact, but projecting ahead, isn't that kind of where we're going to wind up with in the AFC North and the AFC South?
Yes.
I mean, those are going to be you might not see double-digit wins for either division champ on that side of things. And the Saints are good but not great, and they could have very well lost that game. And I could see that division all being a mess at, you know, with the Falcons disappointing so far, and Carolina with its, you know, Kyle Allen's look good. And here come the Buccaneers, who really could be 3-1. I say, they should have made that kick to beat your Giants a week ago, and then they would be the story. They would be one of the headlines of the NFL. And I will continue to say it until I'm blue in the face if I'm not already. But in a world of fraudulent QB whispers, how about Bruce Arians everywhere he goes, from Carson Palmer to Andrew Luck to Ben Roethlisberger, and now Jameis Winston? Man, you can't argue with the results. He turns all these guys into the best version of themselves, it feels like.
Jameis is finally, and because of Bruce Arians, they're finally utilizing their weapons. Everyone last week, Mike Evans, you know, crushed the Giants 3 touchdowns, a bunch of catches, and now this past week versus the Rams, it's like, okay, well, now it's Chris Godwin's day. And then, oh, by the way, we still have O.J. Howard you have to cover, and then they're because I guess Jameis is passing the ball, then now the running game is working, and Ronald Jones last year was bad, you know, they took him in the second round of USC, looked great yesterday, so, and they still have Peyton Barber to back him up as well. It's a full working offense, and their defense is very good, although yesterday, you know, the Rams did score on them, but they stifled the Giants in the first half of the game last week, and they have some, you know, some younger players, Vita Vea and Vernon Hargraves, who they drafted early to make impacts, and they are they could challenge the Saints. I still think the Saints winning in how they did yesterday versus what I thought was the best team in the NFC in Dallas, and then to go win up in Seattle with Teddy Bridgewater, who literally does not push the ball on the field, and Kamara was shut down by the Dallas defense. I think once Breeze comes back, and they're saying it could be sooner rather than later, they're going to push the ball, and they're going to score a ton of points to the defense.
I know Kamara basically is such a dangerous weapon as a pass catcher that it negates this fact, but they continue. It's Michael Thomas and nobody else to catch passes for whoever's the QB there, which takes me back to, I know the Patriots are flawed. You saw that against a good Bills defense on Sunday. You saw the Chiefs struggle. I mean, they got, they got it run down their throats by Detroit. And yet to me, it feels like those are your two best teams in the league. And then after that, it occurs to me, I'm trying to land on at the quarter poll, how we make sense of all this, what is the universal takeaway from what we've seen so far this season? And maybe it is. And I thought, I've been wildly wrong about the fact that I said we've achieved full QB saturation before the season started, that every team has a halfway decent QB, and now it's all back, so many backups. But maybe that lends credibility to my argument that the quarterback is so deep, that the position is so deep now, that you can take a rookie like Gardner Minshew off the bench, and he's now 2-0. Teddy Bridgewater, completely different personal history than Gardner Minshew's followed, and yet he also is 2-0, filling in for Drew Brees. At the time of this recording, I'm going to stick my neck out. Let's see what Mason Rudolph does. But if he wins in Heinz Field against the Bungles, then that's another episode, another chapter in this story of backup QBs.
Chase Daniel. I mean,
Chase Daniel comes in. And what would the final score have been there in Chicago if Mitch Trubisky hadn't gotten hurt? Probably worse.
They might have lost the game. I mean, as bad as Kirk Cousins is playing, Mitch Trubisky this year has not looked that great. And Chase Daniel came in and made a lot of good throws. He's, you know, finding Allen Robinson open for a guy who's been like literally a career backup, has made like $30+ million just holding the clipboard. He came into the job and they moved the ball enough to win versus a pretty good Minnesota Vikings defense. But yeah, it's that speed in that division, with besides the fact that we all know Mitch Trubisky, you know, Mahomes and Watson were in that draft, the Vikings may have to bench. They may have to bench Kirk Cousins now, because now Adam Thielen's publicly saying they have to pass the ball. They're not going to want to pay him next year for what he's owed. Like, the Vikings will be in the market for a quarterback at some point.
That's and who is it? Mannion?
Who their back? I checked their backup.
If I remember that correctly, I think it's Sean Mannion finished the I can't imagine that they're going to do that.
Well, he's owed a bunch of money next year, and I just can't see them staying with him. They fire. Yeah, it is. You're right. It is Sean Mannion. They fired their.
They did worse, I think, than Sean Mannion.
They fired their OC last year because they weren't running the ball enough, and now this year they're not passing the ball enough, and it makes because they were passing it only last year. And I get their Dalvin Cook offense. He's great. He's back to his FSU form. That's what you want. But you have arguably the best duo receivers in the league, and I know that Stephon Diggs finally had a decent second half yesterday, the first time of the season. But like when you have your star receiver coming out and saying like we have to throw the ball better, I mean throwing the ball with like 60 times in the first three games is abysmal. And like they just haven't, there's just no, once you stop Dalvin Cook, there's just no threat for them to do anything with you. I'm confident.
It doesn't add up though, because like you say, Diggs plus Thielen plus, let's not forget Kyle Rudolph
too. Yeah,
had a good year just last year, and now he's basically being used like a 1971 tight end.
And they drafted Irv Smith too. From Alabama.
Irish.
Yeah. Alabama. And you have two tight end weapons. You have two great receivers, and then you have a running back who could basically do it all, and they're not moving the ball at all. And, you know, the Giants have an atrocious defense. But next week, I'm looking forward to playing them because it's just like, okay, well, if you stop Dalvin Cook, then you're going to be in the game because Kirk Cousins will not beat you. And he's a guy I kind of defended. I said he was a slightly above league average, I thought, but not anymore. I mean, he's just he doesn't win in crunch time. He doesn't lead game-winning drives. He throws bad picks. The Vikings are a team I was really high on, but
wait a second. That might be right. What are the Vikings doing? You know what? I'm glad we had this talk because I think at the quarter poll, what the takeaway is, it's the year of the backup.
Yeah.
Minshew, the Chase Daniel, better than the starting quarterback on Sunday. He wins that game. Kyle Allen comes in. That team was 0-2 with Cam. And now Kyle comes in and they're 2-0 since then. The Rams have their $100 million and whatever million-dollar guy, Jared Goff, who, despite throwing for 500 yards on Sunday against the Buccaneers, looked crummy.
Yeah, I mean, he has more turnovers than touchdown passes.
I'm going through it. Jimmy Garoppolo, what is he other than a glorified backup? Really, if we're gonna stretch it.
Right.
Actually, you know, that is right. He kind of is the face of that. Steve Young, for all of his deeds, what is he ultimately known as? In his obituary, in the first paragraph, it will have to state that he was Joe Montana's backup, right? Or took over for Joe Montana.
Sure.
Isn't Garoppolo basically, for the rest of his life, Tom Brady's backup who got traded away? So I'm just trying to build my little narrative here.
Yeah.
This is what it's about. This is a critical moment, Spaghetti. I hope you'll join me on that. But yeah, so the Vikings, that's the solution. What's wrong? You aren't playing your backup. That's what's wrong. Nick Foles, Philadelphia, I wonder where he's going to be next year too. Cause that poor dear.
I mean, not that Minnesota wants another high-priced veteran quarterback, but I mean, there are going to be teams that are going to want him. I do believe his time in Jacksonville is over with now that Minshew is performing the way he is.
Think about this. Think about it from this perspective. Look at just the AFC, and I hear you that the NFC feels like it has more good teams, but it doesn't. I disagree with you. I don't think. And if you played 10 times the Patriots and the Chiefs, I think the Patriots and Chiefs would beat any NFC team that they played 10 times over. Let's say they played four home games, four road games, two neutral site games. The Chiefs and Patriots would win the majority of those games against any NFC foe, right? Rams, Seahawks, Niners, Saints. You're taking the Saints, the Packers, maybe the Bears because of that defense. I like the Cowboys a great deal. Maybe the Cowboys because of Zeke and, you know, if they can get into a run of just physically battering a team, and that would seem to be the way you could have that's the way you get past the Chiefs. But ultimately, Mahomes and Brady are going to whip any NFC team, right? More often than not.
More often than not, I agree. And I don't know if it's the natural Patriots hater in me that I think that the Chiefs may be a tick better. And it's only because that their defense, to me, still has not really been improved. And they don't have Tyreek Hill. And they don't have Kareem Hunt. And they're still finding ways to win games. And they're winning away. Like, Pat Mahomes didn't throw a single touchdown pass and they came back and won the game in Detroit, and I think Detroit is a pretty good team. So to me, I'm more impressed with what they what the Chiefs are doing this year. But I agree with that. I mean, maybe Dallas gets them on a good day where they're fully healthy, no Tyron Smith high ankle issue or anything like that. And Michael Gallup has to come back from his injury, and he's a good number 2/3 because Randall Cobb didn't seem that great yesterday. But I think overall, I mean, they're a pretty complete team. That, you know, talking about a team that I don't know if they could do it cap-wise, but if they made a move and go get a guy like Jalen Ramsey, the Cowboys, I think that would put them over the top to be a real the best team in the NFC.
And my friend Gabe, I do the podcast over at The Athletic, too, and appreciate everybody who has dropped me a line to tell me they've listened and subscribed and all the rest of that. Appreciate it. But my pal Gabe over there has made the point that it maybe would have been better. And not to say it precludes them from doing it now. Maybe they learned something by playing against the Lions in week 4. That maybe if they would have gotten it handed to them at some point, that they would have felt compelled to get Jalen Ramsey. They need. I think they what would do them well. They don't have to get as humiliated necessarily as the Rams got on Sunday in the Coliseum by the Bucks, but maybe they need to get exposed for their own well-being to say, okay, we're not good enough. We're fraudulent if we think this team wins the Super Bowl as constituted. We need that another defensive piece here to really get to the next level. Sure. And maybe that'll inspire them, but Von Miller ain't coming to. I highly doubt that if the Broncos even did consider trading Von Miller, they wouldn't trade him to the Chiefs of all places.
No, he wouldn't go there. And that's a good point. I think if a well-coached team that is pretty balanced like the Patriots, if they, you know, if Mahomes, let's say, gets picked twice or fumbles or whatever, they can't get the run game going and all of a sudden they're down and the defense is doing a good job versus him, then yeah, you're right, because you don't trust their defense to stop you. We're unsure at this point if they can control the clock with their ground game. There are some issues. It's just been at this point through the quarter poll. It's just okay, Pat. We're going to have you run around and make plays, looking in one direction, throwing to another, and we're going to score 30 plus and beat you. And it's like it's almost been too easy. So I agree. We haven't seen them with it. The only adversity they had was being down late in the fourth versus Detroit, and they came back and won that game.
Are you spaghetti aware? Are you looking at the standings right now? Don't look at them if you aren't.
I'm not.
Okay.
I was looking at Kirk Cousins' salary.
Okay. Tell me how many teams in the AFC have a winning record right now.
Well, there's 2 in the AFC East. Is there 1 in the North? And then the West is 1. And the South is 1.
This is to tell you the state of affairs. When you talk about parity, there are exactly 3. There are the undefeated Patriots and Chiefs, and then there are the Bills. 3-1 Bills. Those are the only teams with winning records at the quarter poll in the AFC.
Yeah, because the Titans beat the Jags.
The entire South is 2-2. South, all 4 teams are 2-2. The Raiders and Chargers are both 2-2. You have the Ravens and Browns now both at 2-2.
Right. Yeah, because I'm counting the Ravens. Yeah. In theory, it's what you want.
I disagree. It's not what you want, Spaghetti. What do you want that for?
Because I think to compare it to the NBA, people are sick of the NBA having like 4 or 5 good teams that are way above everyone else, and you know only they could win. Actually, 4 or 5 might be generous. Well, this year is different, but past
years.
Make
me quote Buddy Syndrome again, Spaghetti.
But I think that 2 and 3, like, there people don't want the 2 and 3. They want the parity. They want everyone to be 8 and 8. The NFL is designed to make you 8 and 8, and they want you want to not know like who, you know, whoever gets in the dance, like anyone can come out and win. Now the problem is
I don't like that, and because of the Buddy Syndrome, which is that when everyone is super, no one is. You cannot have a parity if it's just like, I'm going to wait for my number to come up eventually, as long as I'm not just run, as long as I'm not a terribly run organization, which is the caveat to why everybody's number doesn't eventually come up. That aside, if you get if you start to get the vibe as a fan that, all right, just the way things break and we get some first round picks here and our little window for success is going to happen for us, it's unsatisfying. The Stanley Cup is great because it has, in the last, you know, 15, 20 years, it's gotten lousy because of some of the words that are now etched into it alongside names like Canadians and Orr and Lemieux. Now it also includes Capitals, Devils.
Yeah, Lightning, yeah, I get
Lightning. That's junk. That sullies the value of that precious cup. Same thing this way. You want your brand names. It's good when the Cowboys are a dominant team, and even if it isn't, no matter what team it is, the Patriots always being there do the NFL a great service by obscuring that. If it just feels random week after week and season after season, I assure you it will be unsatisfying.
I don't know. I like the fact that, you know, to go back to the NHL playoff thing, like I was exposed on Old Takes Exposed, or Freezing Cold Takes rather, because I picked all eight last year's NHL playoffs. I picked all eight series wrong. Every other game was,
and that's good.
Yes.
So it feels. So why don't you just flip a coin? Then?
I think it's great. I think because you don't, the one versus eight, the eight very well way, the eight could sweep the number one seed. I think that's great. You want to have that in sports. I think if for the NFL to be in a similar situation as like the NHL playoffs, I think you want that because you are now like, especially you being a Steelers fan or me being a Giants fan. It's like they're both teams struggled early on. It's like, well, if they pick up a win tonight, the Steelers versus the Bengals, or the Giants win again next week versus the Vikings, it's like, okay, if we stay in this thing and, you know, if the Steelers run the ball with Connor, they could win a couple games.
I get it, but that's what I want. Of course, I want to see that for my particular team, but I also
want a gap.
Right, I'm also seeing the forest for the trees, though. You don't want to when it's random, it ceases to be an upset. Upsets are great because they don't happen very often. That's what makes it juicy. Is whoa, can you believe it? When the greatest curmudgeonly sports take I have above all other, I have a few others. Like in baseball, I would be happy if we went to a best of nine series and you only had two pennant winners. The reason you can't do that is because it's not engaging to the largest amount of fans. That's why sports don't do it. It's not for competitive interest. It's for the fans to say, my team's still in it, ergo I'm going to continue to watch and I'm going to continue to buy tickets and so on. But I like a meritocracy. I want the best teams to play each other and be positioned to, based on their deeds, to be rewarded for that. My curmudgeonly take is, the biggest one is, that March Madness, while super fun, is a lame way to determine who your best team is.
Yeah, but the March Madness, you have a 16 seed is not going to beat. I mean, I know it's happened once, but they're not going to go on a run and beat, you know, the Dukes and the Kentuckys of the world. The same.
It happens way more than it used to. Not 16,
right?
But you see those rando nine seeds and everything get
sure.
That's unsatisfying. You don't want My point is the gathering storm is if you have some 8-8 bum teams and they're your division champs, that's going to be a crummy wild card weekend.
But the Giants,
you think that's good if that's the way it is?
The Giants won the Super Bowl at 9-7. It's one of the greatest Super Bowls of all time.
Stinks. What if the Cardinals had won the Super Bowl at 9-7? That would have stunk.
I would feel so great for Larry Fitzgerald and that organization. I think it's great. I like that a lot. I think the one main issue that I'm going to address the elephant in the room is that the fact the Patriots are still in the conversation.
Well, guess what? That's exactly right.
Yes.
So you want parity. Well, you got it. And guess what? They're still going to be
the Patriots
and Chiefs.
Right.
The
Chiefs are fine. I will let the Chiefs win.
I'm just telling you, it's the same effect as what you just said. Oh, but it's good because there are these engaged fan bases now, but you know that it's the Chiefs and Patriots right now. Who can you rightly say, when you can't say that there's any team that you see in the AFC, the whole conference, who do you know is going to the playoffs now? I guess that's intriguing in the short term. I hear your argument, but really, who's definitely going to the playoffs besides the Chiefs and Pats? In the AFC, Bills. Are they the third best team?
No, it'll be two teams from the North. I think I still like the Ravens. I still think Lamar Jackson. I'm just enthralled by what he does in the field. Like, he's just awesome to watch. I think he'll figure it out. He's almost like a Mahomes light.
It'll be very interesting to see what happens with that team.
I'd like to see the Patriots go to Baltimore and play, but I think they could do some damage there. I think the Chargers have all the talent in the world if they could figure it out.
I think that's your one. If you're hoping for somebody to be a wild card to get in there and shake things up, just like it was last year. We saw the fate that met them in Foxborough, but they remain the best team, I think.
They have the weapons, and Stephon Gilmore has been awesome for the Patriots, but they're the one team that's like, okay, well, if you want to put him on Keenan Allen, we still have Mike Williams, and then it's like, okay, well, if you have to spot Melvin Gordon a few plays, we still have Austin Eckler, who's right now probably better than the majority of the league's running backs across the whole entire league. So like what stinks about the parity is that you still have the Patriots involved in the conversation that will end up probably winning another Super Bowl. But if we remove the Patriots and you don't have to worry about the threat of Tom Brady and Belichick again and again and again, I think it's a lot of fun because
that seems fun for a year. But in year 4 and 5 of that, when it's like, oh, the who won the Super Bowl? Oh, yeah, it was the Titans. And who won before that? It was the Buccaneers. And like, who won the year before that? I think, was it the Bengals who won? Like, if when everybody's number comes up, it ceases to be special.
That's great, because then it will also end the teams like the Dolphins who want to tank. Because we're kind of getting rid of the old guard. We had for so many years, it was like, oh, it's always Brady, and it's always Peyton Manning, and it's always Drew Brees. And for a little bit, it was always Aaron Rodgers. And now it's like, well, the Packers are struggling offensively, and the Saints don't have Brees right now, and Big Ben is hurt, and you know the Giants are transitioning to a new offense, the new quarterback for the first time, and all those people who are always in those quarterbacks that we're always used to seeing there, and the teams always getting there, there's no longer those teams involved, and I think that's fun. Now it is the Chiefs, and now it may be the Chargers, who have kind of lingered a bit. It may be, you know, Dallas is here, but they're not here with Tony Romo. They're now here with Dak Prescott and Zeke Elliott. So I think it's fun to have a new team. Baltimore's here again. But, you know, maybe here again, but it's not with, you know, the hard defense of all with, you know, Terrell Suggs and Ray Lewis. It's now, you know, Lamar Jackson. So I think I like the fact that it's not the same old boring teams. It's the new teams. It's fresh blood outside of Brady and Belichick, which is like, that is the one thing that's ruining this whole parity thing. But, you know, it's only 4 games in. Who knows? They may not be able to, their defense could start giving up big plays. So they might not be able to run the ball anymore.
I don't think that's going to happen. He's better than Peyton Manning in 2015, but
sure.
That is something that people are starting to catch on to that I've been pointing out now for about 10 months. Mm-hmm. Brady has not been, especially good. For now, his last, doing the math, 3, 7, his last, like, I'd say his last, like, 11, 12 games, Brady has been pretty mediocre. And they're running the ball and playing great defense.
They have the next 3 games are wins. They have the Redskins, Giants, Jets, and then their first test is the Browns coming to New England. And I was right. They do have Baltimore. They have to travel to Baltimore, which I think in early November, which I think is going to be a great game.
That's
fun. It's a really good test.
Okay, that'll be a good one to circle. Let's circle that one and see.
Yeah.
That'll be a good evaluation for the rest of football against the Patriots in 2019. Forget the dynasty and everything else, just for this year. All right, Spaghetti, let's wrap it up here with our food block presented by Bon and Viv Spike Seltzer. We like to talk about food. It's one of the key elements in the game of life. And let's blend it right now with a little football, shall we, Spaghetti? If you had to eat to sustain life, one NFL mascot, which would it be?
Man, that is a...
unless you're a cannibal, you can rule out the Packers and Steelers and Patriots and Saints. Not that a Saint is mortal, but you still... What are you going to eat? The air? I don't think so. Even a Giant.
I'm trying to think of like the mascot. Well, like the best... I mean, if the Buffalo Bill... If it's like a bison, if like the logo on the helmet...
No, Buffalo Bill, as I've told you, Buffalo Bill Cody tried to kill all the buffalo.
Yeah, it's the man. I know. I wish it was... Because I love a good bison burger. That would be my pick. I mean, what...
Want to eat equine? You could go...
What's the best tasting bird? There's the eagle, the falcon...
A bison burger would be good.
The raven... Or the...
A raven.
The Seahawk or the Cardinal. Those are the birds. So whatever... Best tasting bird, you could probably...
You're not patriotic. You're going to eat the eagle?
It doesn't have to be a bald eagle. It could be a, you know, a dark eagle. There's like...
Yes, that's true. I've never really considered...
There's like golden eagles and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah, that's true. I never thought about the various kinds of eagles. I always said the bald eagle gets all the ink.
Yeah,
must stink to be an eagle and not be a bald one.
Yeah, be a different eagle.
So it's the inverse of being human. You don't want to be a bald human. But you do want to be a bald eagle.
Do you ever see the harpy eagle? What they look like?
No.
Like a scary looking thing. I think they're from like South America. They actually have one at the LA Zoo here, and I went, and they're humongous. They're huge.
I just thought of my answer. Don't get in touch with me, PETA. Give me the dolphin.
Yeah, that's
right.
I mean, they're probably
they probably taste all right.
Yeah, I was thinking about like...
No, I got a better one.
Tiger meat, bear meat.
I wouldn't want to eat a cat. A cat.
Horse.
You know, you want to eat a lion? I don't want to eat any horse either. Although people do eat horses.
Green Bay Packer, but the cheesehead won't count, right? You can't just pick like...
No, it's a guy who packs meat.
That's fair.
You want to eat a meat packer? No. The correct answer, I think, is... Although a Texan is just a guy, but their mascot is a bull. And then that's beef.
Yeah.
I think that's the correct answer.
Yeah, that's what it comes down to. It's some kind of beef dish. That's why I was saying hopefully, or a four-legged animal that we've eaten before, which is I thought either the buffalo or the bison or the whatever it's called, the
bull.
What
if we left something a jet?
No, no,
I don't like the airline food necessarily, so maybe you could even get around it with that, but I wouldn't necessarily be excited about that. Brown, if it's just the color brown, and then it's like all food that's brown, like meatball, you know?
Yeah.
I'd like it with red sauce on it, but if I can't get it with that, I'll just eat the brown meatball, you know?
Yeah, there...
Not a lot of good options.
No, there's not.
NFL mascots to eat, as it turns out. Never considered that. Thus ends the food block presented by Bon and Viv Spike Seltzer, and thus ends another successful go-round here on the DDFP out of Studio 66. Eddie Spaghetti joined us. I thought that was a fun little review of four games into the NFL season.
I think it'll be fun. I know it's like week four, we've been saying, we have all our picks that you've been making on DDFPRedFlag.com, and I want to see another 4 weeks from now how different this is. We're talking about the Chiefs and the Patriots, like there's no other good teams or even in their realm, and I guarantee you
put a pin in that. Okay,
yeah, by week eight,
save that one. I'll be interested to see. I'd be happy to be proven wrong here.
Yeah,
you know what, I'm not gonna eat any NFL mascots. I am gonna go place an order for some Zaxby's. The closest location for us is Utah.
Yeah, we're looking for it about a somewhere between like a 7-8 hour drive.
Okay, I'm down for that.
Yeah,
some things are worth the trip.
Yeah, a little less than 400 miles, so I like a long drive. I've done the drive quite a bit around here, so I could definitely go to Utah. I've never been yet. So.
All right, I get to choose the music. All right, we'll do that, and we'll be back with more Huey and Applesauce for you. Hopefully, with Matt Money Smith and Handsome Hank on Wednesday for a video show.
Yeah, I believe Hank is back. He was in New York last week. I think he's
okay.
Back.
Good. Yeah, we'll have the full gang with you for our video show. We appreciate you subscribing and commenting and all that stuff, wherever you find your favorite podcasts. In the video show, like I say, NFL.com/DDFP. Till then, it's been a thin slice of heaven.